Welcome to Not From Here, a podcast dedicated to past versions of ourselves.
And the current versions of all of you. We are your co-hosts. I'm Riley Clauza.
And I am Issa Rodriguez. And we are just a couple of Michiganders turned New Yorkers trying to get a grip.
Have you ever been made fun of for the way you say things or thought, damn, I never even realized I had an accent?
Well, we have too, because we're definitely
not from here.
Slay.
Slay.
That
is so cute.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. Who is with us?
I'm Jane.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, Jane.
Welcome to Not From Here.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for sitting down with us today.
We're pumped to have you.
This episode has been a long time coming. I've been telling, since I started taking classes with you, I've been telling Issa, like, no, Jane has to come on the podcast. Jane has to come on the podcast. You have no idea.
No, I met her and I told her. I was like, you have no idea how much I've heard about you. Like, you have been hyped up so much, so I can't wait to hear about you.
I'm so excited to meet you.
I would like send her like your TikToks and stuff and be like, see, like this is what we need.
Perfect
like-
guest. So here we are. We've made it happen, thankfully.
How was your weekend, Jane?
My weekend was great. It was what I do on Friday. Oh, Grant and I went out on Friday.
Lovely.
Like, bar hopped a little bit. Saturday, I did nothing, which was amazing.
Good.
And then Sunday, I took that cooking class, which was so much fun.
That's so fun.
Such a great weekend.
And wow, how was the weather here this weekend?
It was good.
Windy?
Like, yes. Yeah, windy. I feel like Saturday was kind of gross. I did nothing Saturday
as
well.
Oh, yeah, it rained.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I'm not.
Yeah, I just stayed on the couch all day.
I'm kind of surprised because it's so hot today.
No, it's supposed to be so nice all week.
Noon and it's 77 degrees out.
I was like,
it's
do summer. I need a coat?
No.
No.
I wore this on the way here and then like literally halfway walking, I was like, I need to take this off. I'm like, it's so sweaty.
It is rough.
It's spring has sprung.
It has.
It has. Thankfully.
We skipped, actually. It's summer.
It's summer.
No spring.
No spring.
Love global warming.
Okay, Jane, we want to hear everything about you. Your background, how you got here. So let's start. Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Ooh.
That's where I grew up. My parents are kind of from all over the place. So my mom was born in New Jersey. My dad's from Virginia. And then they lived in California for a little bit. So I feel like we have a lot of like all over the place.
Yeah.
But I've been in North Carolina my whole life.
Wow.
Love. How was that? Did you love North Carolina? Were you happy to leave? Oh, okay.
Loved North Carolina.
Amazing.
Yeah. I lived in Raleigh, which is like smack dab in the middle. So it's like 3 hours to the beach, 3 hours to the mountains. It was like the perfect place to grow up. There was just so much to do, and it's just enough of a city where you get exposed to things, and like you're not, I don't know, like you, like we had theater and we had like so much of like city life going on, but it was not unsafe. Like I never felt unsafe being out alone, like anything like that. So I feel like it was such a great place to like get a really nice, well-rounded childhood.
Aww. I've heard great things about Raleigh.
Yeah.
So, So where did you go to school? Did you also go to school in North Carolina or did you venture out a little?
Nope. So I went to East Carolina University.
Okay.
Greenville, North Carolina, which is 20 minutes from Farmville, North Carolina, if that tells you anything about where we were.
That's
where I was.
Okay. And what did you study there?
So I was a theater arts major, and then I had a double concentration.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah, you didn't know that?
No!
Double concentration in musical theater and professional acting.
What?
Yeah.
I was like, I think Jane's done theater. You fully majored in it.
Yeah, fully majored in it. But I like went to school for it, for performing, and then probably like halfway through was like, I don't know if I really want to do this.
Yeah.
Like, it just, I don't know, like the lifestyle I didn't really love. I felt like I'm not great in competitive places. Like, I'm just not, I don't know, I don't like it. It makes me really stressed and anxious, and I just, like, it's just not my thing.
Yeah.
So then, like, halfway through school, I was like, okay, maybe I want to, like, direct or something. So I kind of started getting into that, and I was like, I don't know, it's a lot of work, so I was like, we need to figure something else out. And so somebody before me, I guess, like, my sophomore year, they started this production company. It was a student-run production company because our school was only doing, like, Oklahoma, like really old show.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, we need to do something updated if we're gonna work professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And so they started this theater run or student run production company called Fifth Street Players. And my junior year, I came on as the associate producer. Could not remember that word. Associate producer. And then senior year did the executive producing.
Oh, my God.
And that was where I, like, got my first taste in business and was just like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And I believe when we left, the school actually absorbed it and, like, took it over and started doing, like Black Box shows with it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That is incredible.
Yeah. It was really fun. And, like, yeah, it was like a full-on business. Like, we made profit. We put on shows. Like, we did the whole thing. It was, we fundraised for it. Like, it was great.
Girl bossing since day one.
And yeah, that's when I was like, okay, I don't need to, like, I can get everything that I want from theater, but not necessarily, like, work in
totally.
Theater.
And that's, like, the great thing about the arts is, like, it is so broad. Yeah. You can really connect it to, like, anything.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
100%. So tell us a little bit about how you got here. Did you always know that you wanted to come to New York? Was it more of like a in college, like, I don't know, I'm changing, but I'm still going to go? Like, what was your journey with that?
I was definitely like drawn to New York, I would say. But after school, I actually got hired to work as a singer in a resort. So
learning so much.
So much.
I was also a mermaid at this resort, which I'll
this
show you videos later.
Thank God.
Literally, so just the silliest job I've ever had. Like, that was my breaking point. That's when I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
You were like, I'm not. This isn't it.
No. So I lived in, I really wanted to get out of North Carolina. So I took this job. It was in the Florida Keys. So I worked on Duck Key, if you are familiar with the Keys. It's
like
halfway down. So I worked there for probably like 5 months. And then I was like, I cannot. And it wasn't like a contract. It was just like a full-time open-ended job.
That is rough.
Yeah.
So I left. And then I moved back home to North Carolina. And I got my personal training certification because I didn't know what else to do with my time.
Yeah.
And I liked working out, but I didn't really think I was going to be a trainer necessarily. Mm-hmm. So I got my certification because I was just like really lost in the gym. And my friends had all moved up to New York. Like, all my friends from school lived here. So I was like, you know what? I already have a friend group. Someone has an apartment with an open room. Like, I'll just go move to New York and then I'll figure it out from there.
Yeah.
So then I ended up moving up here. And then I got a job at Equinox. That was like the first personal training job that I had. And the rest, is history. And now I'm here.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So that seems like a pretty natural transition to the city, right? But I feel like a lot of people do that. Like, they just kind of show up and they're like, all right, let's see what happens.
I'll figure it out. Yeah.
That's pretty much what we did, kind of, you know?
No, totally. How was the transition for you?
It was pretty easy. My Will, who you know,
who's
one of my best friends from college, he's the one that I moved in with. So it was Will, and then one of Will's friends. And so it was nice because he had already been here for maybe like 6 or 8 months before I was.
Okay.
So he already knew the ropes. He like picked me up from like the bus stop when I first got here. Like, he really showed me around. And so, yeah, I feel like I settled in really quickly because I had so many friends who were already here.
Oh, that's so nice.
So great. Yeah.
I call those friends like guiding friends when you get to the city.
Yeah.
And I'm like, everybody needs one to just follow and be like, what do I do?
Like, I don't know how to work the subway. I need help.
Please, God help me. Okay. So do you have any like horror stories from your time here, like right when you moved? Do you have any now that you've been here for a little longer?
I have a really – well, okay. I feel like everyone has like a bad train story. Mine are like not funny, so we're going to skip those. But I do –
You're like, they're just awful.
They are horrible. I was like scarred. Like, we're good now. We've been past it. Moved to therapy. So my first apartment that I actually signed a lease on, so not the one that I moved here in, but me, Will, and a friend of ours, we all moved into this apartment that was on a fifth floor walk up. Our super lived on the first floor.
Okay.
I live in super. Love that for us.
Yeah.
Not when you live on a fifth floor walk-up, though, because our super did not want to go upstairs. So
you're like, I don't either.
My dad actually moved in with us, which is my husband, if you don't know.
Oh.
So he moved in with us. So it was like the four of us in this three-bedroom apartment. And we like woke up one morning or one night, like in the middle of the night, because I just hear this dripping sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I turn on the lights and our ceiling is leaking. And so I'm like, it's the middle of the night.
Are you like the top of the building too?
Oh, yeah. And so I get a big pot and I just put it under there. And then I'm like, let's take the mattress into the living room because I'm not sleeping in here.
Yeah.
So we moved the mattress into the living room, slept on our mattress on the floor, and woke up the next day. And it had gotten so much worse. And so we call the super and he's like, yeah, I'll come today, whatever. never shows up. We called him every day for like 3 weeks and he just like would not
climb those stairs.
And I get it, but like my ceiling is leaking.
And that is your job.
Literally. And that is your job.
And you live downstairs.
Like that is the whole reason you're
it
here.
It could be so much worse. You'd have to take, you could take a train, have to walk up the stairs, but literally, you live downstairs.
No, we had like a light out on our floor too, like in the stairs, and he would not come change it. So it was just dark until we walked down one flight of stairs. Like, he really didn't want to come upstairs. But I actually moved out of that apartment. Grant and I moved out and somebody moved into my room. Mm-hmm. And when they finished up their lease a year later, I was talking to Will about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, did you ever get the ceiling fixed? Kind of kidding. And he was like, no.
But no, still to this day, it's leaking.
It is still leaking. Yeah, like every time it rains, it leaks.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that is just like one of those things that's like only in New York would that just happen
so
for
much
years.
Money, right?
I know.
It's horrible.
Okay, I'm going to go improv for just a second
because
I'm curious. So your husband, Grant, were you guys dating when you moved here?
Yes. So we met in college. He's a year younger than I am. But
older woman.
Also, he also went to school for acting. So that's good that he was a year younger because we didn't any classes together.
Yeah, fair.
But yeah, so we met in college. And then I guess I knew him for like 2.5 years before we actually started dating.
Okay.
And then when he graduated, he was actually going to move to L.A.
Oh,
that was his plan.
Wow.
So he moved home after school, saved a bunch of money, and he was planning to move to L.A. And then he's from Battle Creek.
I know.
No way.
Yes. So I'm like a Lions fan now because I didn't care about sports before I started.
Invisible string. This one.
And so then he was going to move to L.A. and then basically he's just like, I don't want to go. I don't want to move out there. And so then I was like, come move in with me. It'll be fun. We'll live in a little tiny, tiny room and share a closet. And so we moved up here.
Wow.
God.
I love that. No one asked, but I also moved here with my boyfriend. So I'm always so curious when I hear of other couples that like moved here together. And
did you immediately move in
still
together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we had two other roommates, so it was less like intense.
Yeah.
And I kind of forced that on everyone. Apologies to all my friends and Cameron.
It makes your rent super cheap.
It was brilliant. And our apartment,
their apartment was insane.
Two floor,
so sick.
Williamsburg. I mean, it was also COVID, so we were on like a deal, but it was easy. And then after that first year, we were like, no, we definitely want to keep living together. And so now it's been 2 years living alone together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. When we moved like out of like one room and into an apartment, we were like, wow.
We were like, whoa,
that's amazing.
We've made it.
We have so much room.
Okay, so speaking of Grant, he's an actor.
Grant
and he's like an actor,
actor in
the business doing the thing right now. Yep. How is that?
It's great. I mean, I think that because I have been there and done it, I have such an understanding of things that I feel like I now can see how it can be so challenging to be with someone who's not an actor or doesn't understand.
Yeah.
And like, it's tough because sometimes like he gets an audition last minute and our whole day has to change, you know, or sometimes like I have to help or like leave work early to go help him, you know, with his readings because if you don't have someone there, it's hard to do it.
Yeah.
How are you going to do it?
That's another thing where I'm like, it's 2024, haven't we?
Yeah.
But, like, you need a reader sometimes, you know, and especially when the agent is like, oh, and we need this by like 5 p.m. tonight, you know, so it's really a demanding job. Yeah. And so it's especially because he also works another job, you know, and so it's, like it's good, I think, to have someone who really gets it. And on the flip side of that, because acting is kind of like entrepreneurship and like you are kind of a freelancer, it's nice that he really understands my job too and really understands that like I also sometimes need to change my whole day on the flip of a dime and put out fires and run around and random deadlines come up, you know? So it's, I feel like we have a good balance and it's nice that like neither of us are working in the same industry but have an understanding of the other person's industry, you know?
I love
that. That's the dream.
Yeah.
Literally the dream.
Like, that sounds so healthy.
Try.
I love that. Okay, so just, you know, to talk big picture, because why not? Do you have any, like, large dreams for your time here in New York? Like, do you have any big goals for yourself that you'd love to see accomplished?
Yeah, I definitely want to open a studio. So we just opened my company, Movement of Mindset. We just opened our pop-up studio inside of Arrive, which is where Riley comes and trains.
Love it.
You have to come by.
You do.
Will.
Come hang out. So I just opened that. January was my first year or my first month in there.
Oh, wow. My God. I didn't realize that.
Yes. I was at a different gym downtown earlier or before that. And it's kind of like a co-working space for fitness professionals is how I'd explain it. So the old one that I was at was like just personal training. This one's really cool because it's like personal training, group fitness, Pilates. There's an esthetician, physical therapist. So it's like really all things wellness. Yeah. But we are in our own private studio, which is really, really nice. And eventually what I want to do is take over a bigger space. So our space is pretty small. Like we're able to put about 8 people in there at a time. But the goal is to have a space where we can run like personal training, small group training, and large group classes all at the same time. So we're not so.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's the goal.
That's amazing.
Okay. Jane, how would you say your background influences the kind of person you are today?
I think.
Tell us.
Well, growing up in theater, you know, there's like, I think that that had such a big impact on my fitness journey. And was really like the base for how I view my training today. So in terms of like my ethos, I guess, like, you know, when you grow up as a theater, like everyone's looking at your body. It's frustrating because it's like you're so judged on how you look because you're trying to play a character. But even when you get the role, everyone's always trying to change your look. And like, even when I was in Florida for my last job, like we had to do weigh-ins, which was, I was like, this is what?
Oh my God.
Yeah, because I had this costume.
You were a mermaid.
I was a mermaid. So I had this mermaid life. I had this like silicone tail. And I guess they just wanted to make sure that it always fixes a really expensive costume. But yeah, and even like knowing now the things that I know, I'm like, that doesn't even matter because your weight could change, but your like body might not change, you know? So it's just, interesting how dated some things are in the industry. So that for sure. But then as far as like acting and all of that, I feel like it helps so much as a business owner to know how to work on your feet. And I also did improv. That was like a big thing when I was in school. Amazing. So I did improv all through high school, college. And then actually at the resort, we also had an improv troupe. So I did that.
That's awesome.
There.
You're like, until I had to leave.
until I couldn't remember anymore. But yeah, so I feel like that just tells you, it gives you a lot of confidence in that like you can work on your feet and you can change things up. And like also people don't really care if you mess up a little bit. Like,
yeah,
it's really fine. No one really cares that much. So yeah, I feel like it really helped to shape who I am and how I run my business.
Amazing.
I love that.
I know. I feel like it would be so beneficial, like, as somebody who has a personal trainer to have this, like, mentality of acceptance and kind of no pressure or judgment on how you come in, how your body's changing. Like, that just sounds really
And there's
nice.
Actually, like, a lot of people who own, like, other trainers that I know who take improv classes or have taken, like, public speaking classes. Literally just so they can do that. And just take the pressure off and just you can be stupid.
It's all connected.
It's fine.
Yeah. It is all connected.
Because it really just comes back to like confidence and just like showing up and putting yourself out there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Damn.
All right. Last one for this first little section. What would you say makes you not from here?
I am so bad with directions and you would think that like uptown downtown would be really easy. And for my first like 6 months here, it was really, really not. I'm still really bad. Like I'm just horrible with directions. If somebody tells me where to go, I need to still put it in my phone.
Yeah, like, that's fair. You're walking down the street and you're like, I'm still like that.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm pretty good until the numbers go away. And then, and then it's really tough.
Once the numbers are gone, it's
you're like, where am I?
Yeah. So that's probably the biggest one. And then I think I also just like I really like quiet. So I will like sometimes put on my like soundproof headphones and I just put on the soundproofness, but I don't listen to anything. And I'm just walking down the street like
you're like, please just be quiet, world. Yeah. It's always loud.
Just
here.
For
it's
a loud second. City.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Okay. Moving into our fitness, movement, and mindset section, how do we know you? Well, I can answer this. I actually found Movement and Mindset on Instagram, and I followed, like, for a bit, I think, before I started. And I, like, always, like, it was in the back of my mind. I was like, I definitely want to join this community. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know, like, when I find the time. And then, like, when coming into 2024, I was like, no, I am prioritizing my health and my body and, like, really just, like, focusing on me this year and, mm-hmm. like, my wellness and, like, just overall, like, taking care of myself. And mm-hmm. then that's when I was like, I'm going to do this. And then I think, like, you sent an email and it was like – like, for small group, like, we have openings, like, if anyone's mm-hmm. interested. And I was like, sign me up. I'm here.
I'm ready.
So, yeah, I see Jane twice a week mm-hmm. still to this day. And I'm
Riley's
in her-
crushing it.
Oh, thank you. I'm in small group training with her. Jane is just such a, like, badass fitness coach, woman overall, girl boss, like, all the things. And, like, we just wanted to sit down and talk with you about everything you've accomplished overall. And so can you tell us a little bit about movement and mindset?
Yeah, of course. So it was a product of the pandemic.
Love that.
Pandemic,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah, a lot of my clients left the city during the pandemic. And so I was doing some virtual stuff, but not at the capacity that I was prior to the pandemic. So I had a lot of time on my hands. And anyone who's an entrepreneur will tell you that that's, like, the worst thing that could happen, because you're just like, I have to do something. Like, I yeah. have to do something. And so I was talking with some of my friends and family, and everyone was just really struggling to work out, because a lot of them were really into, like, group fitness or even going to the gym. Like, they just didn't know how to work out at home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so also everybody was depressed because yes. pandemic.
Of course.
Yep. Right. So I wrote an ebook called Movement and Mindset.
Wow.
And
oh, my God.
It was
I'm learning so much. I thought I did a deep dive. Not deep enough.
I mean, this was a long time ago, and I don't sell it anymore. But it started as an ebook. It was like a 2 to 4 week flexible program that was workouts along with mantras and journal questions.
Wow.
So kind of like a more therapeutic way to work out. Then when everything reopened, I was still at Equinox at this time. So mm-hmm. when everything reopened, I like had to get permission to run to, like, work at Equinox and run my own business, because you're wow. not really allowed to do that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so then I kind of started, like, working a little bit on my own, but it's really tough when you're working for two places.
Yeah.
Especially because most gyms will have a non-compete. Mm-hmm. So as I started kind of gaining momentum, there came a point where I was like, I either need to quit doing this or I need to make the jump and do this full time. So in April of 2021... quit Equinox and took on Movement and Mindset full time. At this point, I was just doing one-on-one training. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, slowly over time, we really started to gain some momentum. And so then I started doing small group training because a friend of mine was doing it. And she was like, it's so great because it's like group fitness, but you have more of the intention that you put into personal training.
Yeah.
And so I started doing that. And that's just been growing and growing and growing. And that's whenever we open the studio, what I see as our like bread and butter is the small group training. Because it's, I mean, I think it's like such a good balance between personal training. Like, you get the one-on-one attention, mm-hmm. you get a more personalized program, which is what you're paying for with personal training, but it's a little bit cheaper, more cost-effective for most people, especially, like, I like training people that are around my age, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit more cost-effective, and it's fun because you have other people to talk
it's
to.
It's like a little community, yeah.
Yeah, it's so, so nice. And so we try to make the groups, like, we're very intentional about how we make the groups similar, like, fitness levels. We try to put people who we think would be friends together. So it's fun. And, like, yeah. sometimes, like, people start hanging out outside of class, and I'm like...
You're like, yes.
You're like, I'm a matchmaker.
literally. So that kind of took off, worked at the other gym that I was at, and then we just moved into Arrive Wellness. So we made our pop-up studio in January.
Wow. That is amazing, Jane. Seriously. Like, I knew you were a girl boss, but wow, it's amazing to hear you talk about this.
I told you.
So tell us a little bit about your personal fitness journey. You talked a little bit about how acting in the industry impacted you. But tell us about your own journey. Like, how did you grow into this, like, fitness person and made it a part of your life, truly?
Yeah. Well, I grew up dancing. Was, like, before okay. I even did, like singing or acting, that was what I did from, like, I don't know, maybe I was 2. really young. And so I danced, like, my whole life. And then when I started thinking that I wanted to go to college for theater, my older sister also is a singer and an actor. And so she actually also went to ECU for
the family.
Yeah. So she was kind of giving me, like, the inside scoop on college auditions. And I was like, okay, tell me all about it. All the things, right?
And did you do the whole college audition process?
Kind of. I needed to stay in state financially. Mm-hmm. And so I auditioned at, like, School of the Arts, ECU, and another one, but
You're like, somewhere can't else. Remember
yeah, where yeah, yeah. Doesn't matter. And so, but I wanted to go to ECU because my sister went there, yeah. You know? So I was like, I wanted to go here. And so, yeah, she basically was like, you know, it's going to be, like, intense. You're going to have to, like, go through all these things and prepare all these things, whatever. So she was like, I'm actually going to start, like, working out this summer if we want to, like, work out together. And so I was like, oh, perfect. I'll, like, start working out and, like, get ready for school. And so that's, like, what started, like, my interest in fitness was, like, purely aesthetics. That is the mm-hmm. only reason I worked out was yeah. just to look a certain way because I wanted to show up at college looking like –
yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of continued throughout most of my college career.
Yeah.
Only reason I worked out. And then when I got into like my junior year and I started kind of making that shift away from performing and I was like, I don't really know what I want to do. I was still going to the gym, but that's when I really feel like I started going more just because I needed like the clarity. I kind of needed to like get away from everyone and just like have a little mental break, you know?
Yeah.
And that just kept going and it really stuck with me. And I feel like in all of the different seasons of my life post-college, when I was in Florida, when I moved back home, like working out was really the only time that I had to just chill.
Yeah.
And like turn off my phone, put everything away and focus on me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it like how I looked just wasn't important to me anymore. You know, I was way more focused on how I felt mentally. And when I got my personal training certification, that was something that I wanted to bring to my clients because I know from my friends and from, you know, everyone that I've talked to that aesthetics are a huge reason that people get into fitness, you know? Mm-hmm. And that was something that like I wanted to bring to my clients was kind of opening the world because there's so many benefits to fitness. And especially women's fitness marketing is very weight loss focused.
Yeah, totally.
And there's so many other benefits to working out. Like obviously like mental clarity, like I've talked about, but also like bone density. You'll live longer. Yeah. And just like being able to live life without pain. I feel like a lot of people think that like when they turn 30, their knees are bad or like their back is bad. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. That's just a lack of mobility and strength training.
Yeah.
And so helping people see that and highlight that is really important, especially women, because I really don't feel like women at any point in our lives get a lot of information on fitness. I think that, I don't know, did you guys hear that like TikTok Instagram sound that went around for a while that was to like to a couple of guys on a podcast that were talking about pull-ups and they're like, do you know the average amount of pull-ups a woman can do? And everyone's like, two, whatever. And he's like, zero. And then they all start laughing.
Shut the fuck up.
And it's wow, not that, that like girls can't do pull-ups. It's that like men start doing them from like, I don't know, age 8.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're just never taught to do that. And like,
no.
One of my friends in high school, she was on the soccer team in high school, like a really good soccer team. And they went to weight training twice a week. And she said they never lifted weights.
What? I'm sorry. Weight training, but no weights.
Yeah, exactly. And so
I think it makes sense.
Yeah. And so it's really frustrating. And when you kind of zoom out, it's insane, actually. Just like how the patriarchy works in women's fitness.
Yeah.
Because I really do believe that it stems from that. And it really is just like a very misogynistic and not, I don't think people always like mean it to be. And it's just kind of culturally accepted.
100%.
But women can be strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And women can work out and women can do all of these things. But they're not told that they should be or that they can.
Yeah.
And so they end up not doing that. And I just, it just sucks. Like, I, you know, it's one of those things that just really frustrates me. And I want to break through that and just help women see all the benefits of fitness beyond just what you look like.
Yeah.
And especially beyond just losing weight.
Yeah. Of course.
I was going to say, too, like, it does, like, I 100% agree with you that it's a societal issue. From a very young age, we're taught that working out is solely for the purpose of losing weight. So even when women, like you said, like you get really into it in college, similarly, I was only working out to try and lose weight, right? Then you get told that it's okay to like lift weights and do things that make you stronger. But like women have such a hard time getting into that because they're like, I'm putting on weight, I'm putting on muscle.
And like the idea of getting bulky.
Bulky. I don't want to be bulky. I don't want to be too strong.
Yeah. And you know what? And I always, because I think like probably every third person I talk to says something about like bulky, right? Especially right now. I feel like that's such a hot topic. Yeah. And I always say for anyone listening, like working out and accidentally getting bulky is like getting your driver's license and accidentally becoming a NASCAR driver. It just doesn't happen. Like if you think that people, like if you want to be a bodybuilder, you can do that through weightlifting. You can bulk up and gain a lot of muscle through weightlifting. Mm-hmm. But it takes a lot of intention. And I think that women are scared, you know, from what they've been told to strength train. And they also sometimes think that, like, gaining that little bit of muscle is bulking.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know. And so it's no, kind of absolutely. Like a warped view on it. But it also is something that means something different to everyone, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So talking about resetting your mindset and how you work with your clients, what are some mantras or phrases? I mean, you just told us one that I will never forget.
Yeah, I'm like...
But what are some other ones or phrases, mantras that have shifted your journey and your perspective?
I love this question. I think one of the biggest ones, and this is more like me as someone who works out, I always say to myself, and especially I've just started running, which has been my own personal journey.
Run club!
Run club! Let me go this on Friday. So, I just started that. And cardio is not my favorite, but it's really good for your heart, so I'm trying to do it. And so I always tell myself, like, when it gets hard, I'm like, you can rest, but you cannot quit. That is like, always what I tell myself. Like, if you need to take a break, that's fine, but you are not giving up. So that's one's for, I think, like, actively working out. And then the other one that's really – this is new in my life. Grant actually told me this. And I was like, whoa, that really has changed my perspective on a lot. Is, you know, like, working out's hard, and it's not always easy to get started in it. And it's easy to complain about, you know, to be like, oh, I have to go squat today. And so I was I forget what I was complaining about. It could have been anything. Yeah. And Grant was like, no, you get to do that today. And I was like, total mindset shift. So now, like, that's been something that I've been saying to myself and my clients, you know, whenever they're just like, oh, this is so hard today. I'm like, yeah, but you get to work out today.
Yeah.
You get to get out of bed today and come to a gym, and you get to work with a coach, and you get to do all of these things, because a lot of people don't get to do that.
Yeah.
You
know? So it just kind of real, like, it makes you realize how lucky we all are.
Yeah. You know? It is such a privilege to be able to move your body and have that community. And yeah, I am so beyond grateful to join the Movement and Mindset community. I am literally obsessed. I have to leave for the summer. And
it's very sad.
No, I'm very emotional about it.
She's pissed.
Me and Jane talked about it, and I was like, I'm really sad, but, like, I have to.
No,
but
I just will be back. Like, just quit your job.
Yeah.
Just quit. You're like,
come on. Duh. I will be back.
You're like, don't forget.
Don't forget.
Don't forget.
Fall comes, I'm back.
I have her name. Run down.
No, but even, like, I don't work out with you, but it, like, makes me really want to support your business and you because,
you should.
Me and Kiki just go. such an empowering thing to hear women trying to honestly, like, just help other women and change their perspective and change the negative and horrible things that we've been taught from a very young age.
Mm-hmm. And it's shocking. Fitness is, like, very male-led. I don't think I have ever taken a certification led by a woman, which is insane.
Insane. Yeah.
So, like, it's a very male-dominated industry, and the things that men have said to me about my business makes me realize how important it is. Like, I've been told before, this was the craziest one. I've been told before that I was really smart to target women because they're really easy to sell to. That's like one of the, like, endless things that people have said to me. And so it is crazy being in the industry and seeing, like, so many different businesses, so many different gyms, so many different styles of working out, how hard it is to find a place where women can just feel comfortable and safe strength training.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find, and it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
No.
And I'm glad that those comments empower you to keep your business and to keep growing it rather than, you know, hiding and just running away from
it. It's exactly why we need.
It is important. Yeah. It's why we need what you've created.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So thank you.
So thank you. And if, to any of you girlies out there listening, please, please, please check her out. Like,
come hang out.
What a girl boss. What a great.
No, it's the highlight of my week. I look forward to it so much. Even though I'm not a morning person, it has, like, made me a morning. And Jane knows. But it is made me.
I'm pretty sure, like, the first week you were like, it's crazy that I'm up right now.
Yeah, I know. Like, I don't work till 2 p.m. So I would sleep, and Issa doesn't work till 4. Oh, like,
I know I'm like her. Don't.
No, but
all of a sudden Riley would be like, yeah, you know, we went out last night and I'm so hungover, but there's something about Jane's class that makes me get up in the morning and show up and go. And I always feel better after.
Always. Yeah. Always. Even with my worst hangover, I'm there.
No, she's always there.
She is. She is always there.
Always a few minutes late. Always a few minutes late, but there. But
there.
Let's see.
I want to be selfish.
No, be selfish. And I know exactly
we've
what
got,
you...
We've got just a little time left. And for those of you who are book girlies or book guilies. So I have found out through Riley that Jane is a Sarah J. Maas fan.
Big.
For those Sarah of you who, you know, are like, who's Sarah J. Maas? Who is that? A guitar,
grow up.
Court of Thorns and Roses, figured out by now. Throne of Glass, Crescent City, right? So I've been reading Throne of Glass, and I actually last night just finished Air of Fire.
Okay, I loved Air of Fire and the end of Air of Fire. I really because I feel like there is a that's when
turning point.
Yes, it's kind of – so if you guys haven't read Throne of Glass, it's 8 books. And I know that that's really daunting. Have you read it?
I haven't started. It's on my shelf. Okay, I bought it.
All of them?
Yeah, I bought them all. Because I know
she's committed.
Hardcover. I know I want to read them. I know I'm insane. Because I didn't have hardcover of ACOTAR, and I regret it. And I was like, I know I'm going to want
I'm a paperback girl. I want to fold them.
Break that in. Yeah. No, I've been telling Riley for a little bit now, but Selena, you know, I won't get too into it. Don't want to spoil anything. But Selena, the protagonist of this book series, the main character, she's a female protagonist, love. And her journey, her arc is just absolutely insane. And it's crazy when you read a book and you're like, wow, like that character has changed my own perspective.
Yes.
Because you read what she's going through and it's like, sometimes I understand her so deeply. Other times I want to yell at her and be like, you're better than this. Like, you can get up. And it's like, why don't you talk to yourself that way? Like, why don't you empathize with yourself? Why don't you give yourself more grace? And then why don't you also kind of like light a fire under your ass and be like, you can do better. Like, you can be more kind
and
of,
what
right?
What I love about Sarah J. Maas and like the Throne of Glass series is as you get to the end, she wraps everything up. Every choice that she makes, every like time that you're like, oh my God, why would you act that way?
Makes sense.
She explains everything. Everything. I have a Throne of Glass tattoo. Like, I love
Throne of Glass. What do you have?
What is it?
I have, I don't think you've gotten there yet, but there's a sword that she finds, I think, in like, it might be in the last book, honestly, or the second to last book. But she finds this sword. And so me and my best friend got this sword tattooed on us.
I mean, so I also have to out Riley a little bit because she told me that she told Jane that I was hating Air of Fire.
You were.
But I will say
for like
it's
two
slow.
Months straight. You
but
hated
then at
it.
The, you get to the end and there's that little like, and then you're just like, ugh.
I wasn't hating it. I feel horrible saying that I was hating a Sarah J. Maas book because like.
You were struggling to get through
I was struggling. And what I'll say is like. The other three. So I read Assassin's Blade first.
Oh.
Crazy. I know some of you out there might hate that about me.
I want to know if you liked reading Assassin's Blade first because I did fourth.
Okay. I really did.
Yeah.
It built her story for me. Whereas when I tried to read Throne of Glass first, I was like, where are you? Why do I care about what's going on? It was just, I don't know. Like, I went back, tried to read Assassin's Blade and got very into it. And then now I feel like there's been so much building on that, on like the prequel. That now I'm hooked. Like, no matter even if I hated Air of Fire, which I did. But even if I had, like, completely hated it, like, I still want to keep going because I just need to know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I just, like, I hate her novellas. Like, I just, I hate when there's a different story every chapter. I hate it. It's just not my style of reading. Yeah. And so it's the same reason, like, I can't watch a sitcom, like, 30-minute episodes where there's a different story every time. Like, I just can't get into
it. You're like, I need a through line.
Yeah. So I kind of like that, which I feel like is a more unpopular opinion. I feel like everyone is like, you have to read Assassin's Blade first. But I read it third or fourth. And
so you read it after Air of Fire?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. But I think that if I had read it first, I don't think
you
I would have
liked
I would've
it.
Read it. Yeah, I don't think I would have finished the series.
Did it have like a really emotional impact? Or was it just like, eh?
I wouldn't say that I like loved the
it.
Book.
Okay.
I definitely think like, you know, the stuff with Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was definitely like, oh, okay, okay. Oh, now yeah. I feel the weight of it.
Yeah.
But
yeah. See, for me, I was like, I knew that it was a novella. And so I was like, okay, wait, no, I can't spoil that. Never mind. You guys, just read Throne of Glass, please.
I'm like, don't.
It's so good.
I know I can't.
And for future you, do the tandem read.
I'm already going to.
Amazing. And then everyone's going to tell you that Crescent City is like hard to get into and really difficult to read and all this stuff. It's amazing.
I can't.
She's on the last book.
I just started. I know that my Sarah J. Maas journey is over.
The third. But on April Fool's Day, someone posted something on Facebook. I should have
known. No, I know exactly. I saw it too.
And it was like a chord of something and something. New Sarah J. Maas book. Like,
and it was like a cover. And like, no, I saw the. It was green. And first,
yes.
Yeah, I saw the exact one.
And then I was like, it's fake. Yeah. It's a joke. And that's fucked up because that, I was like, there's a new one.
I am interested, like, I guess you guys haven't read it, but for anyone else that's read it, I am interested to see how they're going to continue the story after this because I'm kind of like.
Crescent City, you mean?
Yeah. I'm like, what?
So there's more coming?
I don't know. Well, I think she's, I don't know. I think, and I could be wrong, that she is supposed to do like two more ACOTAR.
Mm-hmm.
Two or three more Crescent City, and then there's a new series coming out.
Yeah.
I think she's contracted for like 5 or 6 more books.
Good. I'm like, sorry, girl, like, if you want out. But
also, Hulu was going to make a TV show, and it got dropped.
It got dropped. Okay, how did you feel about that? I've heard mixed reviews.
I really don't think that ACOTAR should be a TV show. I think that it's just going to – they're wearing masks the whole first.
Yeah.
I think we all forget that.
Like, I know. Also, like, all the,
like, how is that going to be sexy?
Yeah. You know what the I mean? Fae transformations. Like, I'm like, don't give me some CGI, like.
Yeah.
No.
However, I do think that Throne of Glass would be an amazing TV show. Because it's kind of, so did you watch Game of Thrones?
No, but I feel like I,
but you know, I know the vibe. I know
like
the vibe.
Game of Thrones through the female gaze.
I need to, I'm going to start.
When you read her, like, she will become your favorite. She's my favorite female character I've ever read. And I loved ACOTAR.
I don't know if you've met Manon yet, have you?
No, I have. That's part of the reason. Okay.
I love her.
I love her. But every time I would be reading Throne of Glass and it would be like so much shit is happening and then it's like Manon and her people and I'm like what why did you start talking about her now I'm like no you just got to such a good place with Selena and now I have to like
she does that a lot in Crescent City where it's like there's a bunch of different characters and so she'll get like literally cliffhanger anyway now let's talk about this person that you haven't heard about in a
and
long
you're like
time.
I and literally like, don't care and I'm such a like I'll literally be like okay how many
skips.
Chapters
she
do
skips.
I have until I get to that storyline again I'm so bad at that.
You love to peek.
I'm almost done. Well, I'm like already 100 pages into this last one.
How is it? How are you feeling?
It's really good, but I really feel like when I'm done, I kind of want to like start over.
Reread?
Yeah. From ACOTAR.
So I've seen this girl on TikTok. She says the proper way to read all of this is Court of Thorns and Roses, Court of Mist and Fury, Court of Wings and Ruin. Stop. Then – all of Throne of Glass.
Whoa.
No. Jump to Court of, what is it, Frost and Starlight.
Yeah.
And Silver Flames.
Silver Flames.
Then Crescent City.
I do, you do have to read ACOTAR before you read Crescent City.
Okay.
Because there's like, there's a theory in the Sarah J. Maas universe that all the worlds are happening at the same time.
Okay. I have heard that.
I've heard that too.
And then isn't the third Crescent City book supposed to somehow
you'll
like.
You'll have to read and find out.
But
there is like, so there's like all these theories that everything is kind of like interlaced.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that, I read it, I do think you have to start with ACOTAR because it is the most like gentle introduction to Sarah J. Maas.
Yeah, of course.
Which is kind of wild.
But if you're not a fantasy person and you're not used to like world building and like being like, what are the names of these characters and what is this land? And you're like learning all of the, like you're learning about a whole culture basically.
Oh,
you know,
totally.
And so if you're not into like the world building part, ACOTAR is definitely the most easy read.
Okay, I will ask. Were you always like a fantasy girly, or was this like your?
Yeah, okay. I grew up in like Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, like that's that is like definitely always been my thing. But I haven't been honestly before ACOTAR. I was on like a romance novel kick, like a Colleen Hoover kind
of
kick.
Oh, it happens to us all.
Canon
event.
Yeah, so then I was like into that, and then now I have like this, and then I'm reading Fourth Wing, and then I'm going to read heard Silo. Have you guys heard of Silo?
No.
Okay, you should watch the show. I'm going to read it only because I have to know what happens, mm-hmm. but it's on Apple TV, and ooh, it's right. like, think like 1984.
Okay.
Like, kind of. It's amazing. It's so good.
And she's like,
did you guys
it.
See Dune?
No.
The first one, but not
okay,
the second.
You know who, the girl who plays his mom, Rebecca?
Yes. Whatever I don't her know her is. Last name.
I don't know her name either, but she's the lead in Silo.
Oh.
And it's so good. Yeah. It's like, they're in this like underground silo and they like don't know why they're there. It's like a whole city.
Oh.
They don't know why they're there.
Oh,
they don't
I would
know how long
up.
They've been there and like all this stuff. And so they're
I
all.
I would eat it up.
Yeah. Everyone is like feels safe in there. And, but you can say like, I want to go outside. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, you defect, basically. And so then you are outside, you're on your own, blah, blah, blah. And it's like everyone dies when they go outside. And mm-hmm. when you leave the silo, they have a big video of you leaving and like people watch you die. But is it real?
What?
No. Have you watched the series?
Yes. I finished season one. It's only the first season right now. And
oh, so you're like, I have to
it
read.
It ends on a huge cliffhanger.
No, why am I watching it tonight?
No, I'm like, tonight I'm
yeah,
watching.
It's, you'll finish it tonight, too. It's so good.
Oh, I can't wait. Jane, thank you so much. Sorry, I just like screamed.
I know, I loved it.
I know. This was such a fun episode,
this
and I'm
so
glad we
thanks
got to do this.
Me.
Thank you
thanks for
joining
coming
us.
On, seriously.
Jane, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Instagram or TikTok at Jane K. Vandervoort, or you can follow Movement and Mindset at movement.and.mindset. Or you can come to Run Club.
Yeah, come to Run Club.
Come to Run Club.
I love it. Thank you to Noah Wisniewski. And check out our YouTube channel. This will be posted online for you to watch if you'd like to watch as you listen. Next week, we're going to be talking fashion, our personal styles, and then also our journey with the fashion industry overall.
Ooh.
Tune in.
If you want to keep up with us on social media, our at is at notfromhere.podcast. That is notfromhere.podcast. And as always, I'm Riley Clauza.
I am Issa Rodriguez.
I'm Jane Vandervoort.
And we are definitely
not from here.
Bye.
Bye.